Not me, not Hermione.
Hi, I'm Neha.
Hi, I'm Afreen.
Welcome to Hermione Diaries.
This is a podcast where we read, react, and review Draco and Hermione fanfiction.
In this episode, we will be talking about The Right Thing to Do by Love's Big Cut 8. Mm-hmm. This is part one in the Rights and Wrongs series, which was kind of my first intro into a fanfic that had its own world.
Yeah,
and it had multiple fics in it, different points of views, alternate universes. I felt like my world was blown.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I think this was okay. So The Right Thing to Do is literally one of my oldest fanfic, like Hermione memories, because I read it a really, really long time ago and I would just randomly read Hermione. And then now once as like an adult and I was downloading iBooks, like downloading Hermione into my iBooks. This is my first Hermione that I ever downloaded.
Really?
Yeah, I learned how to do the EPUB and then move into a different app. Yeah, it's my first one. And can I tell you, I didn't read All the Wrong Things until after you read The Auction and The Right Thing to Do. I was like, okay, Manacled fucked you up. Do you want me to give you Manacled but a little less?
No, you gave me The Right Thing to Do first. And
really?
I remember, you gave me The Right Thing to Do first after Manacled and then Draco Malfoy and The Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love. And I remember reading The Right Thing to Do and I was like, this is a little boring.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I have the memory of a goldfish. I remember you being like, I was so excited to hear your feedback and you were like, it was all right. And I was like, don't ever speak to me ever again. But I think I also, just to preface, I think it's also my, like, how long I've known this fic. And I read this fic when I wasn't okay with, like, and I wasn't emotionally mature enough to read fics like Manacled and The Auction, even though The Auction existed pretty soon, I think, after this one. But
yeah.
I couldn't, I remember starting The Auction and I couldn't handle it.
So yeah, I read The Right Thing to Do and then I knew that she had written The Auction and that it was the alternate universe. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to like that one. But I'm so like a little stickler of like order of operations that I was like, okay, I have to read All the Wrong Things.
Yeah.
And then I read All the Wrong Things. And I feel like I enjoyed the beginning better, but I also didn't like the behind the scenes a little bit because it was kind of like reading Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer, which is the Twilight version of Edward's perspective of Twilight.
Midnight Sun was reading the fanfic of a fanfic, which is so accurate, but that was a fever dream.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, in Twilight, when Edward's not there, you're like with Bella and you have that like mystery. But then when you read Midnight Sun, you're like, oh my God, he's just a little
should've
stalker
stayed that
everywhere.
Way. Yeah, he's just a man.
He's a vampire.
Yeah.
Actually.
So, excuse me. But also in All the Wrong Things, I think it's just like, wow, Draco is just a little boy. He's 19.
Yeah. And then I read The Auction, which is actually my favorite in the series. And it's the alternate universe, which we say AU, where Voldemort wins.
Mm-hmm.
But today is all about The Right Thing to Do.
Yeah. Which is the first one that she published. This is a pretty, I'm not going to say old, but it's an OG fic in the fandom.
Yeah,
the
give Hermione her some fandom. Respect.
Yeah. Love's Big Cut 8 is, she's a really great author. I love how she does dialogue. I think we'll talk about that in this fic. I also like her time jumps. Obviously, her world building is immaculate.
Okay, so The Right Thing to Do is the first of the series. It takes place a few years after the Battle of Hogwarts.
Yeah, like two.
Hermione testifies for Draco at his trial, and he gets let off with probation where he has to work at the Ministry of Magic. What?
Gag.
It's also where Hermione works. She works also at the corner store bookstore, so just like no days off for her.
Crazy. We'll talk about that. Yeah, Cornerstone Bookstore, like somebody open it because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Draco work at DMLE?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Hermione works at her Care of Magical Creatures department. After his probation is over, Draco creates his own company where he is finally able to pull Hermione out of the clutches of the ministry. He uses his inheritance money to start this company. Narcissa and Lucius interfere. Some drama happens, but we get through it in the end.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah.
Our two faves, they always get through it in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rate this like a 7.
Okay. I am excited about this episode because I would rate it like a good 8.5, which is not a drastic difference, but I think it'll be fun to be like what I liked versus what you really didn't like, and maybe vice versa. I think it's going to be a good little
back and forth.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it. If you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend you read it and then come back.
Yes. Let's discuss. So Draco, so it starts out and they're at the trial. The ministry is like slowly working through post-war dramas. They have some people to put away. They have some people to maybe put to trial. This is Draco's trial. Mm-hmm. And this whole fic is Hermione's perspective. Let's not forget. So we got a lot of her like internal dialogue, and
she like struts in unconfidently into the little.
She doesn't strut. She's like
walking with her brown shoes with her gray outfit.
Overthinking every breath she takes.
Yeah,
she does.
And she notices Draco, and he's just like, he's just fine in his little pokey cage, leaning to one side.
Those cages, like I think it's so funny how you see that in a lot of fics, like where you see Draco's trial, like a lot of authors are like, the wizards are just locking up their maybe not even criminals, charging
guilty
them.
Until proven innocent.
Yeah, literally just shackled.
Yeah, well, in the fourth movie is where we kind of see the visual of like the what the cage kind of looks like, where we see Karkaroff in it.
Yeah.
So that's probably where they get it from.
But then Harry's just free in the fifth movie, like when he's on trial.
He's the chosen one.
Yes. Excuse me. So sorry.
And so Hermione makes her little case for Draco, and she steals a glance, and he's like so pissed.
Yeah. He's like, what are you doing here? I also think you learn why later, but she's so in tune to like his glares, and like she almost knows what he's thinking, and she can like read his face. Why, I wonder?
Because she's why, Neha? Obsessed.
Yeah. She has a little crushy crush.
Yeah. How did you feel about the weaving of like the little memories? Because like here and there we scattered some memories about where Love's Bit Cut 8 kind of rewrites or like adds on to more, where we kind of plant the seed of Hermione having a crush on Draco in Hogwarts.
Yeah.
So we start off knowing that she has a little bit of like a thing for him.
I think you can tell through her current internal dialogue that obviously she has a thing for him, and you're like, what's going on? And you kind of get it in present day, but then when you get the context from the memories, you're like, where did this come from? And I don't really know that she answers that question. And maybe that's intentional, that like, why him? Why?
Because he had
Hogwarts.
Because he had nice hair.
And he read her favorite book, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we're at the trial. And then she goes about her day after the trial. But she was so anxious that she left her wand, remember?
Oh, yeah. And then Harry had to
And she's supposed to get lunch with Harry. Maybe also Ginny. But I think just Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like embarrassedly like running downstairs. I think my first favorite part in this book is like when they're down in the depths of the ministry and she's trying to go get her wand and they run into Narcissa.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what happens?
No.
Okay, so they run into Narcissa and like obviously Harry's like chill with her because she like literally saved his life, remember? And I don't know about that, but she was just like, he's just dead.
And iconic.
Saved the wizarding world, allegedly. That's why she's free right now. So they're like chatting, but then Narcissa says thank you for testifying at Draco's trial, and Hermione says, of course, he was so brave during the war. I would kill myself.
Why the fuck you lie? Just lies. It's just untrue.
Brave where?
Please.
As far as you know.
Just, I don't know, but we're in the Burrow. Are we in the Burrow? No. Hermione and Ginny, sorry, Hermione and Ginny are roommates.
They're roommates.
And Ginny knows that Hermione has a little crush, and so she like does her hair to have Draco notice her.
She does damn near everything she can do to be like, you're in love with this man.
I have to say, her support was really jarring for me.
Really?
Yeah, like, does she not have any loyalty to her brother or like herself in book two?
Who has loyalty to Ron Weasley?
Please. And like, when she supports her, it's kind of just like she braids her hair. Like, it feels very un-Ginny to me.
Okay, okay. I thought that the un-Ginny part was the roomies thing maybe at first, but I really liked it. I also love when Ginny doesn't just fucking marry Harry like 2 seconds after the war and start popping out a James and a Lily or whatever.
But she is 1 year younger than all of them too.
Yeah, like, get your life together, get your career in order, yeah. And which is what she's doing here. So anyways, they're roomies, but also like Ginny does her hair. Yeah, I love that. And Hermione could use some hair help, but also she like cuts out the clippings and the prophet whenever.
Yeah, she's he like
appears, and she also she sticks them to like Hermione's ceiling whenever she wakes up. And yeah, I like that. I think it's funny. It's like a teasing little thing.
So like we'll talk about the wall later, but like part of the reason the wall exists is because Ginny just like
has all like an archive. But also I think Hermione saves them. So
yeah,
you know.
I also feel like Hermione is so timid in this fic and like shy, especially when we meet her and where she's just like in the beginnings of like seeing Draco every day at the ministry. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like I want her to get a grip. And this is where I enjoyed All the Wrong Things, because we see like Draco's point of view of like things happening. And he's a little bit more like aggressive and active in this part of the fic, where like Hermione is like just
stand back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. I also think the level of high anxiety that she is not functional. But yeah, so she's in the ministry. She's in the magical beasts division because she couldn't get into house elf relocation. Pray tell, what is house elf relocation?
Like, is it just the most sought after department? No, like, why couldn't she
and be? And what are they doing there? Like, a Dobby-esque house elf is getting beat up, so they take him out of one house.
And put him in another house.
Send him to Hogwarts or Ilvermorny or Durmstrang.
Just like the elf redistribution system.
Yeah. Like cats, but with house elves. Interesting. Yeah. That's a thing.
Was Aiden a real character in Harry Potter? Do you remember?
I don't think so. Who is named Aiden in 2000s England?
I don't know.
But he's kind of funny. I like him.
Yeah, I like that at least we have, like, another person, like, pining after Hermione, and she's just kind of like,
yeah, I think it's hilarious every time she's, like, in an elevator with him or he's in her presence. She's like, ugh, he's eating a banana and that's all I can smell. Ugh, he's eating an orange and that's all I can fucking smell.
She has a sensitive nose.
Yeah, and she gets overstimulated a lot.
She does.
And I wholeheartedly empathize with that.
Yeah. Which is also interesting why when, like, she smells amortentia, she smells honey, because that's what Draco puts in his tea.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you cannot smell that honey from, like, three tables over, no. Hermione.
Like, how much? He's putting 3 spoons of honey in his tea. That's like, maybe it's pungent.
Really sweet.
I respect
it. He just has like cavities.
I think you see that a lot in so many fics. Like, Draco just has a rabid sweet tooth. Like, he cannot stop eating a dessert. It's not true.
No, it's so true. Yeah, it's so and true. Also in this one, he loves his mint.
Yeah. Loves a mint. She loves a soup. Mm-hmm. So Hermione's working at Cornerstone Bookstore. It's not a new thing. It's been there since Flourish and Blotts, I believe.
Yeah, but it's just tucked away at the corner, and it's less busy, so Hermione likes to work there.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine working 7 days a week. Sounds like my personal hell.
Even Hermione, like, I love that you have a work ethic. I just think that somebody needs to teach her the art of rotting in bed. For the entirety of a Saturday.
Yeah. I do like her at a bookstore because that's...
Duh.
Yeah, and that's where we see Draco kind of pop by when it's, like, not in the ministry.
Yep.
But I don't know how a bookstore would be intellectually stimulating for Hermione to work at.
Yeah, like, it's so much. I think it's funny how they describe she gets so sick of people. She's, like, horrified that people are putting books in the wrong places, even though they took them out of, like, the right place that she had them in. And she put in, like, filing baskets at the end of each aisle.
She's like, the Dewey Decimal System. Please.
Please. But he, like, starts coming into Cornerstone, like, so soon. Like, he's released, he starts working, and he's, like, at the bookstore.
Yeah, I also think it's so funny when he does that spell where it's like his eyes look downwards, but then he's in actuality can like look anywhere he wants. It just appears that he's looking downwards. And so he's just a stalker. Yes. They are equally stalking each other in this book, I have to tell you. And he's just staring at her.
Yeah. crazy.
I do like that Draco keeps popping by the bookstore and buying books and making her wrap it. I think it's so funny.
Yeah. First he just starts out picking up Narcissa's books. Sometimes he comes in and sometimes it's Narcissa. Lots of Malfoy-age in this story.
In the bookstore.
Not just Draco.
Yeah.
Just lots of Malfoy everywhere.
Yeah. In All the Wrong Things, he's just like trying to linger more and wants to like spend more time with her. So he's like, can you wrap this? And in his mind, he's just like, oh, this is just going to take like 1 second because she's just going to flick her little wand and it's going to wrap itself.
No, sir. She starts manually wrapping. And I think she says to herself, like, yeah, she could do this by magic, but eh. And we know it's because she wants him to stay an extra.
That's true.
Extra 2 minutes.
I would be horrible at wrapping gifts. I have to tell you.
Yeah, mine would look like an ugly lump.
Yeah, I'm a put a gift in a bag girly with like a little.
I can do a cute tissue paper flick, little tissue rose, but that's it. But yeah, I think we start seeing Narcissa also like come into the bookstore a lot, and that got me by surprise, I think.
I'm like, you're leaving the manor and doing mundane things. Like, shouldn't you send your house elf to do these tasks?
Yeah, she has like 500. No, she doesn't. That's a lie.
Are they all free? No, I'm
kidding. Just the one. But how do you feel about Narcissa being like?
I have to tell you, I know you think this is the best Narcissa. I disagree. Okay. I think here's my problem with Narcissa in this fic is I like my Narcissa to be a little snooty, a little snobby. Or just like demure and like kind of aloof, you know? I don't like her being so pro this relationship right off the bat and giving too much of herself and also just interfering so much, meddling so much, having Draco pick it up, inviting her into the manor, forcing her to meet Lucius. Especially when I read All the Wrong Things, I'm just like, oh my God, can Draco have any type of
autonomy?
Yeah. Like initiative. Is it all just like mommy? Like that's so crazy.
No. Okay. I'm so dramatic. I wouldn't say this is the best Narcissa, but I do really like this Narcissa. But I don't think that she is really meddlesome, but I don't think that Draco moves just because she moves, because I think she does insert herself. Let's not mince any words, but I think she definitely kind of tries to read both of them and then see where she can pull them together. Like, Hermione's working at the bookstore. Let's send Draco to pick up my books. Hermione takes lunch during her shift at the bookstore. Let's get lunch together. I agree with you that she comes on so strong. Like, she asks about Hermione's parents while they're having lunch together for what? And also just to invite her over to the manor when she was tortured there a year and a half ago.
That's... Yeah, can we have some sense of decorum?
Isn't this part of your classes? But yeah, she is really, really warm. Like, and I think, yeah, I did really like that. I think when I was younger, I was like, the sap in me. Maybe us being two brown girls are like, wow, this is the nicest mother-in-law ever.
Red flag?
Is that real?
I will say, I think once we get into the memories, especially that one memory, it does kind of make sense why she, I guess, ultimately just wants Draco to be happy. But I just think it's like too much.
Okay. And also maybe I just had a thought from maybe the author's point of view. This is like taking that aspect of her motherhood where she just was holding on to her son anyway. She knew how, like saying that Harry was dead when he wasn't, and like expanding on that and like building her into this.
Yeah. And this is her way of like keeping Draco and also like controlling things in her own way.
Yeah. And maybe also stealing back the narrative from how much her husband controlled it when they were raising him up till now. And at the end of the day, like he's still 19. They're like 19 babies. And 20 babies.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Shout out Narcissa. Love your clothes. Okay, what happened next? what's next. They're like bantering.
Yeah. I like the little bants. I do like it. The honorable mention for me is... she's like, what do you want? And he's like, a book. Do you sell those here?
The honorable mention for me is like one of the days when Narcissa invites her over and she's like, and then she drags Draco in, obviously. And she's like, we're all having dinner together. And like, basically Hermione can't say no. And she's like, Draco, have you heard about Hermione's, what is it? It's like the project where she's trying to get no dragons back into Gringotts. And he's like, yeah, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. They're never going to agree to that. Granger's just a dreamer and stupid. And obviously chaos ensues and they're just screaming at each other. And poor Hermione can't eat a freaking bite of this pumpkin soup that she needs to say like 500 good things about all the time. Like, how good is a pumpkin soup?
How good is a soup?
How good
unless it's a French onion
seasoning in Britain? Just two brown girls would like to know.
And then she says, like, fuck off, Draco. And then the next day, like, with her Narcissa sends her a package of the soup. Like, imagine the owl just, like, working like a dog.
I work like a dog day and night carrying soup.
I also want to mention when, like, Draco keeps making Hermione... like gift wrap these books that she thinks are for his like dates girlfriend, that he goes on. And she says, you know, Draco, just because you give them books doesn't mean they'll learn to read.
Yeah, that was a little catty of her. Like, you can be mean to Draco, not these girls that you... Can you be a girl's girl, Hermione, please?
I do like that we see... I feel like her character flaw is like she's a bit of a pick-me when it comes to like a not having any female friends. And it's just Pansy having to force herself to be her friend.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that too. I like her quips.
Oh, okay. And then that's the Quidditch scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
Draco's being a little whore. No, I'm kidding. Draco, you slut.
Yeah. Slytherins are sluts.
As do Slytherins. Confirm?
Slytherins are sluts. Confirmed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. Draco's hoeing around. He just got out of prison.
Yeah.
One thing I will say that the math doesn't math for me is how... he's just unfazed after being outside Azkaban. Like, yeah, he's a little scrawny. He's a little peaky.
He's also just unfazed from the beginning in his, like, leaning against his little prison cell.
Yeah, and that's so true.
Unamused.
What was the prison cell part? Pure occlumency or no?
Because, oh, that's true. He does know occlumency.
As we know, he's a...
occlumens. Legilimens?
I don't know about that. I think they're mutually exclusive. But yeah, as we know that he's an avid occlumenter.
Just compartmentalizing to the extreme.
But yeah, so I think that was interesting to me. I forgot to say also that like the way he just kind of rose right to the top of the gossip columns right away.
And then we kind of see in all the wrong things, Narcissa is just... a little socialite queen, and she knows how to like a redemption arc for the Malfoy name.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to have Rita Skeeta.
Skeeta. Just. That tracks for me.
Yeah.
Because obviously she's a grown woman. She's a pureblood wife. I feel like she's been trained in those ways.
Yeah. And you know, all you need is the public on your side.
You're so right. And also, yeah, you're so right. Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah. So Draco's just... every day on a date with a different girl, just photographed. He's on the gossip column.
Yep.
Ginny prints it out, gives it to Hermione.
Hermione's like, you're out with these hoes. I'm having tea with your mom. Slay.
So who's really winning?
Exactly. But yeah, so they're living their ministry life. They're seeing each other a lot. They're getting photographed a lot.
They're fighting a lot. They're bantering a lot. Mm-hmm. They're flirting a lot.
They're flirting. And they're confused.
Yeah.
Well, Hermione's confused, but she's an overthinker. So what does she know, really?
Yeah. Draco is free as a bird. He also loves Quidditch.
Mm-hmm. And he's on the, like, Harry, just the forgiving soul that he is like, want to join our Quidditch league?
Yeah, that was wild.
I just have a question. How are the contract employees getting all these benefits? The contract rules that I applied to make me pay for my own health insurance.
Do you think if they get sent to St. Mungo's, they just like bill the ministry?
Yeah. Love from, that for them. Yeah, fall from Quidditch.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, the wizarding healthcare system is, like, the Muggle one. Like, do they have an NHS?
No, I think they just have Mungos and that's it.
That's Mungos all you are, get. Mungos are bust.
Yep.
Yeah, and so they have a little Quidditch scrimmage with Ron and Draco.
Who wasn't supposed to, Ron wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, Ron just shows up and he's like, surprise.
Yeah, and just benefits of being one third of the Golden Trio is like, yeah, I'm just filling in.
He's also,
don't even go here.
Ron is a professional Quidditch player in this, which I feel like is not, I don't know, it doesn't track for me. Was he ever really like that great?
He was never good, bro.
But I don't think his team is good in this fic either.
What is he on, the Chudley Cannon?
Yeah, he's in Ireland. I know that. Okay. Because what he says to Ron in this little Quidditch scrimmage from All the Wrong Things is like, Ireland's far away. I was just keeping her warm for you.
That was so frat boy-y of him.
Yeah, it's very locker room talky. Yes. But I will say this is like the first time that I see the trope of like Ron versus Draco. And although like, I don't know how I feel about like a man being like, rah, rah, like she's mine. Although sometimes I do like it, but this one was a little bit like, as Harry says, crass, but it does do a great way to show like Draco and Hermione versus Ron and Hermione, because as Harry points out, he's like, oh, I get it now. Cause you two are similar in that way.
Yeah. And then also I think what you also get a little bit of Ron, Hermione, Draco interaction, because obviously Draco knows they're getting pictured in the paper a lot. And so he's at Cornerstone Bookstore, like damn near every weekend, every shift Hermione's there. She's there for every shift. She's there every weekend.
Yeah. So
no
then
breaks.
Ron
shows
picks up on that.
And I like that Draco's like, oh, what do you know? You do get the paper all the way up in Ireland.
I also like how a reader writes how, oh, she like keeps like mints on the little checkout counter just for him.
Allegedly, they're his favorite.
Yeah. And then when Ron shows up and she's like trying to get him to leave, like, bye, he's like, okay, let me just pick a little
mint up. Yeah. It was really giving. Also, when he said like, oh, you do get the paper up in Ireland, it was really giving. Huh. I didn't know you could read. He's like, Ron Weasley reads the paper.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
I also like when Ron and Draco meet, like when we're talking about the Cornerstone Bookstore, is he, in All the Wrong Things, he's like, I really wanted to like show her. He's like helping her with her magical beasts project, and he finds the answers in a book. So he's like, let me buy this book. Yeah. Hermione thinks he's buying it for like a girl, and he's making her wrap it. And he has this plan of like, oh, I'm going to make it really obvious that it's her and I get to see her face and whatever. Yeah. And then Ron shows up.
And now foils the plan. Right when Hermione is like, oh, you have a different girl every week. Who's this for? Your Tuesday girl.
And he's like, well, I have like a slot free on Wednesday if you want to.
Yeah. The flirts are good with this one.
Yeah. And then later on, she opens it at the Burrow because the owl like gives her own wrapped book. Mm-hmm. And he writes like a little note and it's like, to my Saturday girl.
Ah, giggling, like, kicking our feet.
He's like, if you need a dictionary, the Harpy at the Cornerstone Bookstore said she could hook you up.
Oh, Draco, just the laughs.
That was a great
little thing. Yeah, loved that thing. But then, you know, the scrimmage doesn't go so well. I like that even when they're playing Quidditch, everything is about Hermione.
I like how she's just like, how do you know they're fighting over you? And she's like, I just know.
She's like, look at me. The most confident she's ever been. Honorable mention to like a randomly pregnant Katie Bell, who's there.
She's just like,
congrats, I guess.
She wants to take control of her life.
Yeah, that's a sperm
at 21.
Donor. I know. Please, like maybe go on an eat, pray, loving journey.
Yeah, I think you have time.
She has no time. She was almost killed by a necklace.
That's true.
Yeah. But
speaking of killing necklaces.
Whoa. The transition.
Narcissa sets up Hermione and Lucius meeting for what reason?
We don't know.
Oh,
well, it's officially on paper. It's to say thank you for like speaking at his trial. Like, we get it, bro. You're so glad your son's not in jail.
Yeah, so Narcissa's like, how does this sound? You want to meet the guy who fucking hates you, wanted to kill you so many times.
Let my sister torture you on my floor in the next room.
Yeah, and also he's in Azkaban. Does that sound fun to you?
Yeah, I just think that it was kind of icky also of Narcissa. Obviously, she didn't know it was going to happen, but why would you... Yeah, like, why was this a good idea in the first place? I wish I had some more context on that. I don't know if we ever get it. I don't think we do. Let me hypothesize. Was Lucius like... Yeah, I just don't know what he could have... Like, was he threatening her? There's no way he had anything to blackmail her with. Like, why... What did he say to get his wife to agree?
Well, I think Narcissa wants Draco and Hermione to be together and feels like, you know, Draco thinks he can't have her because of mm-hmm. whatever the Malfoy expectations. And so I'm sure Lucius is like, no, like, she's fine. I'll talk to her. I just want her to like take a few classes and like teehee, we'll have a great time. And he ends up just botching the entire situation. And he's like, so you're the girl that my precious Draco wanted to spend 65,000 galleons on?
Yeah.
To save you?
Okay.
All right, so do you want to give a little backstory on how, like, the auction kind of weaves into this? Because it makes sense with, like, them meeting and why Hermione freaks out about...
Yeah, we were so focused on the bants and the flirts that we forgot to say. So they're at, like, I think Dollhouse trial, and I don't know why Draco just needs to make things 10 times worse than they already are, but he's like,
always.
Oh, so are you here to free him too? Like, bro, why would you say that to her? He literally cursed the shit out of her in like fifth year. Do your research. but no, so he's like, yeah, why the hell are you at, you're just here like at all the Death Eater trials? Is this a game to you? And I don't know what leads to what. Things get really heated.
He's obviously, like, you don't know how bad these people are. Do you know what would have happened if Voldemort won?
You know, she's like, I'm not fucking stupid. I would have been tortured. And he's like, LOLs, let me do you one worse. And just lays out in approximately like 3 seconds.
In an elevator.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
When they're about to go in front of the Wizengamot.
I hate that name.
I don't know how to say it. Wizengamot. That's how I'm going to say it. Yeah. And he's just like, yeah, no. Like, lays out for her that in a Voldemort-y world, like, all these Muggleborns would have been rounded up and just sold like cattle. And that's
not just Muggleborns, blood traders, purebloods who got caught.
Yeah, half-bloods that are declining the regime.
The ones who are from the order or order sympathetic.
Yeah.
But would have just been rounded up.
Yeah.
And sold for, and men and women, mm-hmm. either for like slavery or like sex slavery.
Yeah. Concubines, just, you know, the works.
Yeah.
It was really gross.
And he lays it out that Hermione would have been like 5,000 galleons more because she's
pure.
A virgin.
Ew. Ew. Simultaneous.
Yeah. And he kind of like gets really aggressive with her in a little way. I didn't know how I felt about that when he's
like trying to scare her.
Yeah. And so cut. So she knows that Draco reveals to her that there would have been an auction, and cut to, she's with Lucius, and Lucius is mm-hmm. like, yeah, if there was an auction, he was begging his grandma to like give him his inheritance or like help him out because he wanted to buy you.
Yeah.
To save you. And Hermione is like, what?
Yeah. And her blood kind of runs cold that, like, oh my God, he wasn't lying about this whole thing even existing.
Yeah.
Which is a lot to take in.
And he's like, anyway, so I guess like Draco is just obsessed with you and is willing to do whatever. And I don't want to lose my son. Mm-hmm. So I guess I have to accept you, but under my terms and conditions. And he slides over a little parchment, which God knows where he got that
from.
I
know. Are you allowed to write? In Azkaban?
I don't know.
And he just yanked a quill out of an owl? That's so sad.
And he's like, it's a list of things that he wants in a Malfoy daughter-in-law. And he's like, I'm only willing to part with one, and that's pure blood.
Yeah, so it's she the needs last to thing be, on the list.
Should we pull up the list?
Oh, yeah, let's pull up Yeah, so his list is like graceful, exquisite table manners, skilled in hosting, witty, charming, leader amongst peers, amongst social peers. That's interesting. Beautiful, fashionable, level-headed, financially knowledgeable, obedient, trained in decor, a practiced dancer, intelligent, cool-tempered, and a pureblood. He's like, the only thing I can part with is the last thing on the list. But wow, that's
And Hermione's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Where are the cameras? No, cut.
He's like, no, he did not hold back. He was like,
and Hermione's like, excuse me? Like, I don't even know if he likes me. Like, yeah. We banter here and there, but what? Like, he's dating all of these other girls.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Sometimes he's, like, really aggressive and, like, yeah, mean to me, and sometimes he's nice to me. Mm-hmm. What is happening? And now you're just saying that he would have saved me in an auction and that you are willing to accept me, but I have to do all of these things.
And also, let's not forget that, like, right before she went to go see him, she was like sitting with Narcissa having some coffee, and she saw like this ginormous, humongous engagement ring, the Malfoy diamond.
And she's like, don't touch it. It's gonna curse you, you little mudblood.
Yeah, that was for no, like, why did Narcissa just have that out there? And she's like, oh, I'm taking it to the curse breaker soon. And so Hermione's,
it might be of use. Yeah. Wink, wink. Yeah. Hint, hint.
At the time, Hermione's like, great. Like, the Tuesday girl's getting it. But yeah, now with Lucio, she's like, oh my God, like, this is so embarrassing. Everybody knows I'm obsessed with him besides him. And it's not even reciprocated.
Yeah. I also, this is like one of the things that I don't really like about this fic is that it's not just like a linear, kind of like a gradual slow burn. It's kind of like up and down, up and down.
Yeah, like one thing happens right after the other. Yeah. I do see that.
And like, it's hot and cold with Draco and Hermione. So it's like cold right now. And she's like, I don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I don't really care. I think you're lying to me. We both know that like he loves you and is obsessed with you. And if you don't abide by my little rules,
terms and conditions,
and like go to all these classes that I've booked you for, then Draco is not receiving his
inheritance.
And this is a problem because Draco has told Hermione he has big plans after the ministry.
Huge.
He wants, like, to start a consulting group.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to start my own company.
Yeah.
A company. She's like, what?
Just like, spell that right now.
She's like, what do you mean? You don't want to slave away in the ministry for the rest of your life, enforcing little to no change?
Crazy. And Malfoy is like, I like that when he visits Lucius and all the wrong things, he's like, and you know, Malfoys, they aren't ministry dregs.
Yeah, you tell him. You showed him. Yeah, so yeah, these instructors are already expecting her, and she's like, whoa, she's in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she goes home. Well, actually, she goes back to the manor.
Malfoy Manor. She's like freaked out. She's like hyperventilating, being like, what is happening? I think she's just thinking about the auction and like just the threat that Lucius is like, if you don't do it, I won't like give my son money.
Yeah.
And then
and she was a little already like afraid of him just like being a former Death Eater, being like 3 paces away from her.
Yeah. And she's just convinced that Draco doesn't like her at all. So she comes back. She's like, I don't want to marry your son.
Yeah. She's just like, I'm never going to marry him.
That's
makes it another dramatic exit.
So dramatic. Yeah. The drama.
Yeah. Lots of drama. That happened.
But you know what? I will say, like, I do kind of get what Lucius is talking about. Like, imagine they're like, I think he doesn't want to. If I'm going to play devil's advocate, I think Lucius doesn't want to like set Hermione up for failure. Like, imagine they're like at all of these important events and Hermione doesn't know how to like
just embarrassing their drink lineage. Tea. I think I have like 2 points on this. A, it was so shocking to me that like you said, like that's kind of all he wants. Like, he just wants her to go to 10 weeks of like 3 or 4 different classes.
Pure blood boot camp.
And like, if you think about it, he's the last of 2 huge ancient pure blood lines. And both, like, the former Death Eater loves his son enough. Well, yeah, like at the end of the day, it's the fact that he loves his son enough and he lost so much over the last couple of years with his family. And then also like Narcissa also being supportive, just like that. I was like, that was almost too easy. So I think that almost didn't make sense to me, but I run with it. I like it. But then also I think when we see these things happening, it's like there's such a black and white and like a dichotomy of her experience with all things Draco and then with all things his mom and dad that you kind of understand all of her frustration that leads up to and like misunderstanding that leads up to doing what she does. And I think we forgot to also say that at this point, after her little interlude with Draco learning about the auction, he's like, don't go back to your house or whatever.
Yeah.
She goes back to the house.
Of course she does. She's like, what yeah. is there? And there's blood on her walls.
Yeah.
And it says, you can run, but they can't hide. Yeah. And she just knows it's Draco's blood because she does a little spell and yeah. she sees him.
That's a cool spell.
It is a cool spell. And then she goes home and makes her murder wall.
Yeah.
I'm literally picturing like red string, yes. all of the Ginny and Hermione mm-hmm. archived pictures.
Yeah. I think she takes a sick day from work.
She does.
Throws her hair up in like a humongous bun.
A little out of character for yeah. taking off
work. Yeah. Is like manically eating like chow mein from a Chinese takeout box. I like how
in all of these Hermione fics, she just loves the Chinese.
Yeah, I get it. An orange chicken.
And we're about to get some.
Ooh, yum. I think we're getting Thai. but yeah, so she's really confused, you know? And you're confused, I'm confused, bro.
And then the Marcus Flint incident happens. Yeah. Marcus came out of nowhere, bro. I always hate it in the movies. He just has these ginormous teeth.
The teeth are so scary. Those, like, the thing of nightmares.
No,
Marcus Flint, literally. Just as an entity, is a thing of nightmares.
Yeah, just a little trigger warning. We're going to talk about, like, non-consensual stuff and, like, kind of getting roofied, essentially. Yeah. But that's basically what happens. Drugged. Yeah. Marcus Flint shows up to like another after ministry pub crawl.
Yeah.
And then brawls with Malfoy.
Yeah, he's on the crawl and then they brawl.
Yeah. He goes in and at first Malfoy and him are like kind of buddy-buddy. And then what happens is essentially Marcus kind of like roofies Hermione mm-hmm. with this like concoction that he makes.
Yeah.
And he put Draco's
hair.
Inside yeah. her drink, so
it's
she
kind of a polyjuice potion, but for like a love potion. It's like, a lust potion, yeah, almost. Yeah,
it's like crazy. Yeah. It makes her really. It makes her like want to have like non-consensual.
She's like, not in her right mind, yeah. and the second she touches his skin, she is so emboldened to just like act on her not entirely her own desire.
Yeah,
but so obviously she is like. So in love with him, and so that's a really confusing
line for her, yeah. and she kind of throws herself at him. He's also confused, but he also likes her too, and then he realizes that, and she also is scared because she's like, what did you do to
what's
me,
what's going on? Yeah, and she has like flashes of like lucidness almost. Also I feel like this made me realize how scary like potion, like what a crazy market that would be for like
yeah, abusers. Snape was right. No. Potions are a dangerous insane.
Craft. Yeah. yeah.
Draco kind of puts two and two together and is like, oh, I think Marcus like mm-hmm. put it in the drink and stuff. Hermione, and I think, what happens to her? Wait, hold on. Hermione gets to go home.
Aiden takes her home.
Yeah, but she's like, kind of like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then the next day, Draco's like, this is the potion. This mm-hmm. is what happened. These are the ingredients. And this is how it affected you.
Yeah. He like throws it at her. Yeah. Like, what? Catch. He's like, I'm not getting anywhere near her. So they're kind of working together once in a while. Their teams are collabing.
Yeah.
But I just hated how they both handled that.
Situation.
Obviously, Hermione as a victim, like, yeah, like really, really scary. But she figured it out like even before she saw him at work the next day. But also like, can he communicate more than like
the miscommunication is crazy.
It's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's intentional. You're supposed to feel like the frustration as a reader, but you're in her head and you're like, can you just ask some more questions. Like, I know he takes a little while, but he cracks open.
Yeah.
Just.
I will say, I think that's kind of why she decides to do what she decides to do next, yeah. is because she's just like, there was this auction. I don't know if he likes me or not. What mm-hmm. is going on? And a marriage proposal? What is happening?
Building the wall.
Yeah,
and Ginny.
She's like, I'm trying to find a liar. Like, is he a good guy or is he not? Like, what? And like her ultimate, like, kind of inquiry is like, would he save me if the auction were to happen, or would he not?
Or would he sell me?
Yeah.
I love how they decide their next diabolical plan. Like they're building the wall. Ginny's helping her because Harry calls in like a reinforcement. Also love how Harry's just there to cook them dinner all the time. He's just making pasta.
Listen, he's lived a really stressful life. Yeah,
just let him cook. but yeah, so they're just like yammering away. Like it's like build a wall and yap for Ginny and Hermione, you know, and Ginny's in it. She is one of the girls. She's a foot soldier.
And she's like, oh, you know how we can see if Draco's a good guy or not? I heard he, like, gave his memories for, like, his freedom.
No. So Harry is like, oh, it's too bad. Like, they're so confused about things that Draco's doing. And Harry's like, oh, it's too bad that we can't go see those memories. And Ginny's like, what memories? And Harry's like, well, he had to give some memories, you know, for the Wizengamot, for his hearing to get free. And it was his idea and everything. And Ginny's like, he's not catching on. He's just eating his freaking spaghetti. And Ginny's like, and where are they? Oh, they're in the ministry being guarded by Aurors. Oh, and when is your shift to guard them? And Harry's like, oh. He's like, oh, bollocks.
It was really great. I do like Ginny's personality mm-hmm. shining here.
Yeah.
This is where I like Ginny.
She's a girl's girl. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I kind of get it. I would, if I had the opportunity, I would 100% look at his memories. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so question. When you're looking at memories or like when you're watching somebody else's memories, like are you, like it's a memory. It's not just what they're seeing. Like can't you feel what they're feeling and like all the sensory stuff that comes with a memory, I'm just like, where is that? I don't get how those work.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Like, I feel like, imagine if Hermione could have felt, like, yeah, she saw the fear. So she watches, she sneaks in, breaks in with Harry. Invisibility cloak comes out.
She sees two memories. One is of him going to her house. And you can tell that he's just like really panicked, running up straight into her bedroom. Like as if he expects to find her and he can just like operate her or something.
And how do you know where it was? He just lucky guess.
Yeah, he's like, I smelled her.
Gag.
and you can just see the relief on his face when she's not there, and then how he like proceeds to like occlude himself when Fenrir
is a Fenrir. Yeah, I think Greyback is there because he probably smelled like where.
Yeah, and it was actually Fenrir's idea to have Malfoy spill his blood and write the horrible message.
And that's also when you hear, like, and then, like, Yaxley cleans up, like, his wound for him. And that's when you learn that, like, oh, because he's like, oh, well, then I guess you shouldn't have volunteered on this mission if you weren't ready to
spill some blood. The second memory that she sees is at Malfoy Manor. Mm-hmm. I really liked this one because it's still, like, canonically
accurate.
Yeah.
And it's just a viewpoint that you would have never seen.
Yeah, so Hermione's being tortured and you just see Draco just having to break away. Yeah. He's like shaking.
Yeah.
He's finding it hard to breathe. He like
internalizing a panic attack.
Yeah.
Basically.
And Narcissa having to like put her hand on his back and be like, what would Severus say?
Yeah. Is this when she finds out, you think?
Yeah, maybe. Actually,
this is when she puts it together. Because otherwise, like, what I was wondering when I was rereading this is, like, why, if his parents both knew before then, like, why would they be like, isn't that Potter's mudblood?
You're so right.
Or I don't know if she just left that in for it to be canonically accurate, but.
No, you're so right.
And then also Hermione was like, isn't that the Granger girl? You know? Like,
yeah. I do feel like this is where I love reading All the Wrong Things, because what we get in All the Wrong Things is Draco has been obsessed with her and mm-hmm. has a crush on her and then like loves her and, like during Hogwarts, like from the Yule Ball onwards. Yeah. And Severus picks up on it. And Severus also is, a Slytherin who loved a muggle born.
Yeah.
And he needed to protect that Muggle-born, and he also Lily.
Yeah.
He needed to protect Lily, and he also like can empathize literally like with Draco.
Literally.
And he's like, I can help. Like he catches it on. He's like, I know you're obsessed with Hermione. I can see your thoughts. And Draco tries to shrug it off. But I think they both kind of know that ultimately to protect her, like he needs to learn occlumency. And so Severus teaches him how to put like Hermione and his feelings for Hermione like in a metaphorical box in his mind. So then like when in the flashback when Narcissa is like, what would Severus say? Like you see him like going from like having like a panic attack to then slowly having to build his like occlumency walls up.
And he does it all to like keep her safe, not even like he doesn't even care what's gonna happen to him.
Yeah.
Oh, cries. But yeah. Also, isn't it like I always get confused when it's like all the wrong things. Like there was a real box also, right? Like it was a little velvet box and I was just so like, why does it work like that? I think it's like
if you can like picture a physical box, it's easy, easier for you. So Snape presents him with like a box and he's like, you're going to put...
Hermione goes here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Snape aspect of it all was so...
It was a good touch.
Great. Yeah. Like where else would Snape like fit in so seamlessly? Like, Snape is the OG. Like,
it really makes me yearn for like the canon books to have more of that relationship with Severus and Draco.
Yeah.
I also love that when she gets out of like the memories and she's on a time crunch and she gets out of the memories and he's like, well, did you get what you were looking for? And she's like, yeah, he would have saved me.
Yeah. That was so, I like that she got that. And I also feel like this is one of like the peaks of the story because of that like pivot in her own perception of him. And then you also kind of start to see how she starts seeing him differently because of that like fear of him saying to her or like implying that he would have sold her, like kind of going away because then she's like still under the cloak and she's up near like Harry's office and sees Draco and she hears him like telling his boss like, yeah, no, Granger and I still can't work together. We're fighting. But also he's like looking around like, is Granger here? And she's like, what? Like, and she realizes later, like, how the hell did he know? Like, I'm literally invisible. This thing is breaking. But then she's like, oh no, he smelled my shampoo.
Yeah.
Wow. He knows her shampoo.
I don't know if I thought that was a little stalkery, but...
Okay. I mean, she said she doesn't wear any perfume. Does she have deodorant?
Like, she better. Do you think she, like, doesn't wear perfume because of in Deathly Hallows, like...
Oh, my God.
They could smell it.
Oh, my God. That's insane that you just said that.
Yeah.
I feel like that...
Speaking of something...
a puzzle piece for me. Sorry.
It's okay. Speaking of something that's insane, Draco announces that he's not just going to... rot and be Lord of Manor. He's like, no, I am going to work and I'm going to create my own company, like he said before. So he kind of lifts off Malfoy Consulting Group.
Yeah.
That's what he calls it.
It's announced in the paper. He launches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A soft launch, featuring Reader Skeeter.
I think the soft launch was telling Hermione.
Yeah. Then like a semi-hard launch.
What?
In the papers.
Yeah.
In the Daily Prophet. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I love that he's like, I want to create my own thing. I don't know if I love a consulting group. Like, what does that even mean? Like, does Draco even know what it means? What is the mission statement? And is he just like expecting Hermione to just come in and save the day?
I don't think so. I disagree. I think a consulting group or consulting anything is such a pure bloody, like a rich person thing to do. I love the idea of him like getting together a bunch of like lawmakers and like people who were in the ministry and people who are like bringing together all of these like niches and like experts in their fields into one big like group of solicitors. And they're like, going to change laws and like create havoc, like wreak havoc and like represent different things like Quidditch teams and like all this stuff. And then Hermione's thing is like, she's going to go like bug the Wizengamot to to change all these things, the issues that she has with the wizarding world, like all the time.
Yeah. I like that he's just like, you could do so much more than the ministry. Mm-hmm. And through Hermione's eyes, we see like, oh my God, Draco is going out, networking, building this company, yeah. like really. And the company, it is a consulting group. So there is like a bunch of niches.
The magical worlds, PwC.
Yeah. So basically what Draco wants to do is.
He wants to basically get together like a team of people that will be like legal representation for all types of entities, right?
And Hermione likes this because she gets to represent like the underrepresented,
basically. And Draco is also very pro Hermione, like using her Golden Girl status to like further her career aspirations. Yeah.
He's just like, you were exploited as a child. Like, let's exploit your exploitation for our benefit.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of agree with him. It's not like she's out to ruin the world. Like, you can use her powers for good.
That's true.
You don't need to go about it the exact right way that everybody else did. Like, you didn't get to do any, like, you were just saving the world for how long? You can skip a few rungs on the ladder, as she calls it.
So he's trying to like seduce her into joining.
She doesn't even consider it at first.
No.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean? The ministry is the only other job available.
Yeah. Well, she gets the invitation to the Malfoy New Year's ball. B, she kind of like runs into Katya right before, I think, and is like, fuck, I hate her. She's like a nice person. But yeah. Then like Ginny convinces her and they find like beautiful dresses. And obviously like Ginny does her makeup and she's wearing a sexy like backless thing. Granger's always in a sexy backless thing.
And her back all is the fits. Backing.
Yeah.
It's all the yoga that she does. At 4:30 a.m.
In the right thing to do? Did we just switch? I'm just kidding.
In the New Year's Eve ball, it is iconic. I do love reading like a good party or ball
horror
scene.
Ball.
Like it's so good.
Gala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And during,
it's black and white themed. I love that.
Yeah. Draco has to do a speech and he times it perfectly.
Yeah.
So that when.
Well, no, they also have a little interlude and like Narcissa sets them up on a little interlude on a balcony, a secluded balcony. That's when he kind of starts the little pitch of like, oh, anybody can be seduced, Granger, when she's like wondering how he's getting all these retired people and big names in their industries out to like work for him. She's like, you're literally a teenager.
Yeah, like
what he's like, I'm rich.
I'm rich. Yeah. I'm a Malfoy, and like, look at the way I speak. Cue my speech.
Yep.
And he basically just like speaks directly to Hermione and makes
from
a pitch
across the room.
Yeah, and makes a pitch about Malfoy Consulting Group, and then he's like, "Come join us. This is what we want to do." And it's like really inspiring. And Hermione just locks in.
Locks in, and he gets her with that one-liner. He's like, if you find that your little ministry cubicle is getting too small for you, and he raises his champagne glass and he's like, we're hiring. But I love the end of this episode. Actually, this is the peak for me in this. I'm going to say that three more times probably. But she goes home, like gets comfy, gets some parchment, scrawls like a ginormous The Golden Girl, like onto like a quote, like it's just a blank piece of paper, but that's her resume. Sends that shit in. It's like 11 p.m. Like, or sorry, it's past midnight of the new year. Yeah. She's like, let me apply for it. First thing Hermione Granger does, applies for a job.
As she should. Hermione is now out of the ministry.
Yeah.
God,
she
at
got
last.
Her acceptance like immediately.
Yeah. And then in All the Wrong Things, it's like so pathetic. Like, this is why I don't like All the Wrong Things sometimes, is because behind the scenes, we just see like Draco struggling to get people wanting to work with him because of his reputation, his age. And also he's like, you're not very well liked. Like, you may be rich, but that's it. And he's like, no. Hermione is going to work with me. Have you heard of her? The Golden Girl.
Yeah.
And he.
What do you do that for? Well, we know.
And then he's like pacing back and forth, just like stress, sweating. He's like, I thought my speech was pretty good.
Aww.
And then when he finally receives
Where's the application?
When he finally receives the owl, he's like, thank God.
I know. Like, what was he? What was his backup plan? Like, he was just going to show up to her door and beg her to work.
I know. about to ask my daddy, please.
I love that, like, when she gets her immediate thing, it's like senior consultant for muggle relations and non-magical creatures, yeah. or non-wizard.
And she really likes her corner office.
A corner office is industry sellout in turn, like in the words of Blaise Sabini. Yeah, and also like Harry and Ginny, like, you did what now? You just applied and you're going to be like his secretary? And she's like, no, I'm going to be a senior consultant. And they're like, okay, that's the other extreme, but go off, I guess.
And then she also simultaneously starts lessons.
Yeah.
Per Lucius's little
Yeah, because he blackmail. Sees... He has photos from the Marcus Flint incident and kind of uses them to blackmail her.
Yeah.
And also on her first day or like during the meet and greet at MCG, Malfoy Consulting Group, Draco's really candid. Shout out for not lying, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's like, in so many words, is like, yeah, this is kind of my inheritance. That's how we're paying for this company right now. So we need to start making money stat. And obviously she knows that it's his inheritance and it's going to be transferring in chunks. And so she has to start going to these freaking like behavior lessons, manner lessons.
It's like dancing lessons. She has to get like her outfits tailored, which that sounds great to me.
Yeah.
And then manner lessons, like how to properly
etiquette.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I need all of those things.
I could use a dance lesson. I gotta tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and
I
she also no learns grace. How to plan a party. It sounds. I don't. Honestly, it doesn't sound
it's a
that
sweet
bad
deal. And then she fucking like. She's like, oh God, no! I'm not letting him pay for it. And burns a fat hole.
Like
when she finally starts earning money. But the part that I do, okay, so a lot starts happening like all at once now, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So she starts her job, starts the lessons. Pansy like barrels, Pansy Parkinson, intro Pansy Parkinson, barrels her down on her first day.
This was my first fic where like we get the Pansy Hermione like.
Yeah.
Forced it's so proximity good. Slash like friendship
yeah,
forming.
It's so good.
I love that. I really like Pansy because I love that she's a bitch, but she's mm-hmm.
but she owns it.
She owns it. She's smart. She's yeah. a businesswoman in this. Her whole business is she likes to create clothes. She has a clothing line.
For the modern business witch.
And she wants Hermione
well,
to
that's
be
her new line.
Yeah. And she wants Hermione to be the model mm-hmm. and because Hermione gets photographed all the time and it's kind of like a win-win. She's like, you look better.
You could use an upgrade.
And I get publicity.
With all due respect. Also like Hermione's just like, what the hell is going on? She's like, I can't pay for these clothes. Like, have you ever, do you know how anything works
like sponsor,
ever?
Like, just, babe, please.
Yeah, you're an influencer.
She's like, I already pay for all these lessons.
I work like a dog. But yeah, so she's an icon. She's getting, and also just in this, like we see Hermione and Draco MCG for what? Like the timeline of this fic is like, they're working there for like 2 months maybe. Why is Witch Weekly like parked in that fucking office doing a photo there. Shoot every like 3 minutes.
I guess this is kind of how we see Malfoy's, I guess, like effect because I'm yeah. pretty sure those papers are just being snatched from the walls yeah. anytime we see anything.
They're being cut
Draco
out and
related.
Put like on teenage witches' walls. They're plastering the girls' dormitory at Hogwarts. But yeah, so they're getting a lot of buzz. They have photo shoots, and obviously everybody wants like the photo shoot of like the Granger Malfoy duo and then Blaise and yeah, like all the exciting things. And so she starts working. She is like excited. But then like because of like all of their tension, they're also bickering a lot, and they one day she has lunch scheduled with Harry Potter, loses her head in the first meeting of the day. And I like that you, this is when you see a lot of Granger because she makes like a full on packet for like the project that she wants to present. Everybody else just kind of like says a few things. She's like, I'm not bothered at all. Yeah, you read my packet. And he's like shooting down her ideas. And they're like, and so then he like follows her, I think, into her office. And they're bickering.
Goads her.
Yeah, gets all up in her face. I think he corners her mm-hmm. to her desk. And then what happens?
And then they kiss.
They kiss. Well, I think they're like screaming at each other. And then he just kind of grabs her.
I will say I do like this, the trope again of Hermione and Draco, like when they're arguing is when like the heat in the passion, like they just kiss.
They just kiss.
It's good. It's a good scene.
It's a steamy kiss.
Yeah. And it gets interrupted with Harry.
Just, you ready for lunch? Draco just wiping his mouth furiously. Like, ew, how wet was this kiss? And it's just, that's a silent lunch. Oh, well.
It was great for us.
Yeah, I also
we
like,
ate.
Yeah. 4 + 4, 8. Also, like, obviously Harry's got to go tell Ginny. And Ginny just shows up, like, speechless.
I did like that scene with Ginny. And how they're just, like, eating and every so often. It's like a vignette of,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. Like, was there tongue?
Yeah. Okay,
go was back it rough? Eating. She eats a spring roll.
That was good.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so they're just, it's oxys, but they have work to do. And
yeah, and basically, there's this governor's ball, speaking of work to do, because Draco's like, listen, Hermione, love that you're the golden girl. Your social skills.
Oh, yeah.
Not that great.
This is the week after. Yeah. And he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
He made a point. Yeah. Points are made.
She has a reputation and he has the mouth.
Oh, wow. And, you know, maybe the oratory social skills.
It's all the etiquette skill. It's all of the skill, like, you know, the lessons.
It's the fact that he knows how to play piano.
I also noticed that he does see a little bit of a difference in her. He's like, oh, she like brought the saucer with her when she's drinking tea. Or like, oh,
she doesn't clink her spoon like a peasant.
Yeah.
Do you clink your spoon now?
Yeah.
I don't after reading this fic. That set me straight.
I also, I will say I'm just like, after I read the etiquette stuff, I went on like TikTok and I'm like, etiquette TikTok.
Oh. Our Madame Michelle is just TikTok. But yeah, right before the governor's ball, she's like, oh my God, like, this is so awkward. We violated the love contract, which like is made a big deal of that. Like,
oh my God.
And then they get
Blaze.
I know.
Oh, we forget Blaze. Enter Blaze Zabini, who also is part of the Malfoy consulting group. And there's this love contract that Offreen mentioned. It's because Malfoy is worried that Blaze will like is a little predator and he'll just like abuse.
Or so he says.
The system.
Yeah. And Blaze is like, come on, sign your name. We're dating, aren't we? I like that Blaze is just around to flirt with her.
Yeah.
With a hidden agenda, I feel. He was just trying to move things along.
Yeah, it's like him and Narcissa should have a little group chat.
No, really. I bet they have like a meeting every week. Like, okay, how's your progress? Okay, how's your progress going? Anything from either of them? But yeah, so they get into a whole, like Hermione and Malfoy get into a whole other altercation. Because she redoes her proposal. I think it's for, like, the Snidgets.
I don't understand
I looked up a Snidget.
These causes.
She cares about everything that's smaller than her. so she cares
what
about these
tiny... What
the
hell is a golden Snidget?
Okay, so apparently, you know how she's like, yeah, they were really an important part of Quidditch history. They're like a bird that's literally the size of, like, a snitch. So like a little walnut-sized bird. They have an enormous body and a tiny little head, like proportionately, and some snitch-like wings. People used to release them and use them as the snitch for Quidditch matches because I guess they like zoom, zoom. They were just chasing this freaking like poor little bird around the freaking pitch before these wizards with magic and broomsticks were like, oh, should we just enchant a little gold ball?
Wait, this was before the snitch?
Yeah, like this is the history of magic.
Oh my God.
This is Quidditch, a history.
Everything I know about Quidditch has been against my will.
And no, I know, it's nothing makes sense. You made a bludger before you made a snitch.
That's crazy
to me. Yeah, anyway, so I guess I'm sure catching these snitches, they crushed half of them in their big, like, man hand. So they're in danger now. I'm sure Victor did half that damage. I'm just kidding. He's a baby, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, the snitches are going to die or whatever. So she's like, let's save them. And he's like, we have no money. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so mad at you all over again. She's like, it's been 2 weeks. She's like, I'm going to quit. Like, for fuck's sake. Yeah. And so she like tries to go give her 2 week notice. And he's like, why did I sexually harass you?
And then, sorry, is the governor's ball when they get together?
Kind of. So, yeah. So he, when they're fighting, he's like, did I sexually harass you? And she's like, what? But they have a whole nother makeout session. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. It got too far. And because things were, they were escalating, you know?
Yeah. And then she was like, you were right. I would be 5,000.
Oh, my. I wanted to die. It was so. Why did she need to say that?
No. In that moment, it was kind of crazy.
That was all you could think of to say. Like, I know you're not that debilitated.
No, she's just so frazzled, this Hermione. She's so like,
she cannot keep two thoughts straight.
The neurons are just
fighting
with each other.
She's just trying to give it up only to Draco. But yeah, so that's when he's like, okay, I won't touch you again. Like, just don't quit. Like, don't leave, please. You want your snidgets? I'll give you the snidget project. Or you want to like have a program for muggleborns? I'll give you that too. And I'm like, you're only a good boss to Hermione. Like, she can have whatever she wants. Your company is rapidly losing money because Hermione, like, is or is not going to these lessons. You don't even know about them. Your dad is releasing your inheritance in tenths. Everything's, the world is burning. And Draco's like, let's save the Snidgets. And you, if you want to do that, you have to come to the ball tomorrow. And she's like, you have to teach me how to network.
And he's like, yeah, you need it. I will teach you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then they go to this governor's ball. I do like how he teaches her how to like network and like, you know, she kind of gets her footing into it a little bit. But I do hate how it ends.
Mm-hmm. No, this actually, chapter?
Yeah. But before that, basically in this little ball, like they dance naturally. And then the Viennese waltz. I think it's the Viennese waltz.
It's a waltz.
And this is the same waltz that they did during the Yule Ball, and then Love's Bit kind of rewrote how in the Yule Ball she like ends up twirling in front of Malfoy.
Because you have a second partner for a second.
Yeah.
For like a hot second.
And then the same thing happened this time. And she was like, haha, isn't that funny? Like, what a coincidence. And he's like, it wasn't a coincidence then, and it's not a coincidence now. And she's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Storms off.
Why is that so crazy to her? Like, he's made out with you twice.
You've seen his memories.
You knew he wanted to buy you to save you at like this auction.
Yeah, but the Yule Ball really does it for her.
That's her fine. That's her 13th reason she runs away. And he's like, ah, God damn it. All she does is walk away from me. I kiss her, she runs.
Yeah.
And then kiss her again.
Anyways, they end up like exchanging feelings, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's just like, can you just tell me how long this has been going on for you? Because like, she's been obsessed with him since like third year.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the fact that he was getting maimed by a hippogriff.
Yeah, but I remember her mom being like, why do you like him? And she's like, I don't know, his hair. He's so cute, but he's mean. But he has such perfect hair.
She's like, can't relate.
You're so right. And then he's like, fourth year. And she's like, beat you.
I know. That's funny. And he's like, oh, you stupid bint. And why did he call her that? That came out of, that was so aggressive for no reason. But then he kissed her.
He kissed her. So. And then I hate that she loses her virginity. Like, what do you mean it's on a chaise longue?
A chaise lounge?
And he just, like, after they do it, like, he just, like, sends her on her way. He, like, first rips all, her dress.
Yeah, he rips her dress. You're not in public, but you're kind of in public. Have some
yeah, and I'm just
class.
Thinking of, like, a bright room, too.
Yeah. And then I was, like, they're 19.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just, I just felt like it didn't feel like the first timey vibe, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, okay, like after they do it, he's like, well, I gotta go save face.
Yeah.
You are a mess. So bye-bye.
Yeah,
here's
you
some
can't
flu
do
powder.
This is, yeah, this is not your area of expertise.
Yeah. And then she goes home and like.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And then thank she just God has Jenny's to like there. Go. Yeah, yeah. She and just crawls right into bed with Jenny.
And then she has to take this like. What was it, like a contraceptive potion? Yeah.
It's like Plan B, but liquid. Okay.
Okay.
And Ginny falls off the bed when she learns that her dress. She's like, where's your freaking dress? He ripped it off of me. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, then they go back into work, and I hate it because it's just like every lunch, they're just making out or having sex yep. in his
they're
office.
Doing stuff. And a silenced office. This is the worst workplace ever for everybody except them.
Yeah.
And I'll say it again.
I also feel like there's this one part where like if when they're not doing it because she like doesn't eat, can't relate.
I know. Like, and also like she got skinny after just 3 skipped lunches. Like, yeah. What does she do for dinner? Yeah,
literally. And so he's just like, okay, we can't, like, I can't just ravish
starve her.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they order lunch and it's like, it's so awkward because she's like, it's a quiet lunch. Like, they're just eating.
But then she fills the silence, you know?
Yeah. And then, yeah, I just, like, don't really like that because it's like, I don't like when it's undefined. And they're just like doing it and it's like the company's in shambles.
Yeah.
And no one knows how the other is feeling. And I don't know.
It's like, I don't know, communicate.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're doing that. But he does like, I think he kind of initiates that step. And then because like Narcissa invites her over for dinner and he's like, do you want to stay the night?
Oh yeah.
He's like, should we have a sleepover? And she's really excited about that. But also before he like finds out about the lessons
yeah.
and he like shows up at one of them and like drags her out and he's so pissed. And he's like, you and my dad have been working together. And he gets like.
He gets really weird and yeah, he's like, did he touch
again?
You?
Yeah.
And I don't really like that.
Yeah.
And she also doesn't like that. And then yeah. they're fine afterwards after he's like, just don't do it
yeah.
anymore.
Well, he's just like, nothing is more important than you. And you're not going back to those lessons.
I feel like he's a real, like really dramatic about
yeah.
it.
Like, also like, what are you going to do? Like you need money.
Yeah. She needs to keep going.
Yeah.
And I also really don't like when he's just like, yeah, Lucius has already like tainted you. Like he's
bro.
With us all the time because your behaviors have changed. Relax.
So dramatic.
Relax. She just picks up a saucer when she drinks tea yeah. now. Like it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
She walks
also,
in a straight line.
He says that he doesn't care about all those things, but all like if you think about it, he like she asked to teach him networking and stuff. She asked him to teach her how and like he was happy to do so. Because he knew that that was kind of like a helpful skill.
Yeah. It's just very clear that he is just so anti his dad.
Yeah. It is obviously all about his feelings about yeah. Lucius, yeah. which makes sense.
And then cut to them sleeping over.
Yeah. She fumbles the bag, bro.
Yeah.
Why can she think before she speaks?
No, she's yeah. So he finds out that she has seen his memories that he so it was so hard already for him to like give yeah. over.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what is he saying?
He's just like, it's a good thing what you did about your parents. I know it was really hard, but yeah, they would have been in danger. And she's like, I think she's just like, no, I know you wouldn't have let anything happen to
them. I saw
it
on your face.
I know. And he's like rubbing her arm and stuff and they're cuddled up and she's like just so happy to be sleeping over. And he hears that. And like as she's falling asleep, it's like.
He stills.
Yeah. His arm stops because I think that he's like.
He realizes.
Yeah. He puts two and two together. It's wow. Like, okay. He could have had the whole conversation. Like he was a little dramatic here too, but. It was warranted.
I understand where he feels. Yeah. Like, I think he has every right to like feel that way because he feels violated, and he also feels like, why couldn't you just ask me? Yeah. I will say, in Hermione's defense, he was like hot and cold all the time. Yeah. And also, I'm just a nosy person, and I would do exactly what Hermione did. But he does have a right to be mad. I just hate that he tells her to leave, and she's like naked on his bed, and she has to like grab her clothes while he's like, just like in the trapped himself in the bathroom.
And, yeah, you know. And she doesn't know her way around because the house is so massive.
She has to like call a house elf to help her.
But he did make a good point where he was like, it's just like Hogwarts again. Like, you and your two famous friends have no rules, and you can just do whatever the hell you want all the time with no consequences. And that's like, on the other side of things, that's so valid.
Mm.
But yeah. And so they're in a little cold war.
I know. And then at work, like, he just ignores her. Ugh, I felt so bad for her, dude.
I feel bad for everybody who works there. Like, I would be so confused. Oh, Melody, God. The receptionist, she's just is like, these so 19-year-olds confused. Need
to get it together, she's please. Like,
my boss is weird, and he's stalking one of my coworkers, I think.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So the way the Cold War warms
is
that Lucius gets stabbed.
Yeah, he gets stabbed. And that's sad.
It is sad. Do I care? No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. Does Lucius care? Because, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And we should kind of say that like Narcissa files for divorce.
Oh yeah.
Because Lucius fumbles the bag with Hermione.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's like, divorce.
And, bye.
Yeah. And then Lucius is like, oh, you divorce me? I'm going to bribe a guard to stab me. We don't know that yet, but Lucius.
It's implied, heavily implied.
Yeah. Lucius is in St. Mungo's. They don't know his condition. Draco's like having all of these feelings, and Hermione visits, and he's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. I was a little embarrassed for her. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Why did she do that? It's a family affair.
Yeah. But it also. They had nobody else there. Narcissa's just like, give me a big hug.
Draco, do you want a granola bar?
And she's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. You don't come with me.
Yeah.
And then he just like sobs. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
To cry right now.
Yeah. And then he tries to like stuff with her. Yeah. And she's like, this is not the time.
He's crying because his dad didn't die. And I'm like, okay, let's process that. Before you need to have sex in the St. Mungo's closet, because I don't know about you, but that sounds like you've got a lot going on emotionally.
Yeah, it's just the smell of antiseptic. You know what it does for him.
Yeah. All of our episodes are going to be just a sprinkle of Dement Moval, Draco. Just get used to it.
Pansy.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, wait. Well, so they figure out their shit a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. We still know that, like, Draco, you know, obviously still has feelings for Hermione and vice versa. And so, I don't know. They kind of break a little bit of, like, the ice and, like, warm the cold war.
It thaws.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thaw.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you got to go back to work, you know? And, like, she's campaigning for these Snidgets. These poor Snidgets are going to go extinct in, like, a day by now. So, you know, she's got Witch Weekly. She's got the Quibbler. She's got Rolf Scamander, whom she dated for 2 seconds and was, like.
I love that for her.
Yeah. But she was, like, that's, like, a friend. I'm like, okay. Just give anybody a little bit of a chance, please.
Victor Crumb, a friend.
Yeah. Ron Weasley, I get it. Don't give him no chances Ron Weasley. But yeah, so then I feel like we see Pansy again. She's been gone for a little while, but she's back. She was in Italy. And she's like, what the hell happened to you guys? Because they take a few pictures together for this campaign, and it's painful. Like, you could cut the tension with a knife.
Yeah. And Hermione tells Pansy, no, you don't understand. Like, he has every right to be mad at me. Like, I don't think he's going to speak to me again. I don't know if things are going to go back to normal. If they do, all of these things. And Pansy's like, listen, bitch, do you know how...
She's like, what did you really do? It can't be that bad.
Do you know how he like used me to like get your attention in Hogwarts?
This is so sad.
I felt so bad for her. Oh my God. Basically, Draco would just make sure when Hermione was like on her rounds.
Yeah, her patrols. Yeah. Nightly patrols.
That she would catch them.
Snogging.
Like, snogging. Mm-hmm. You can see her maturity of being like that. You know, we were in school Pansy, kids.
What are you doing here? Like, why are you still friends with him?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. And one time he like, they were making out and he said her name.
Yeah.
He said Hermione's name. Like while he was with Pansy, and she was like, even then I tried to ignore it for like 2 months. And she's like, he's been waiting for you for a while.
Yeah.
And I think it takes like Blaise also like telling, it's like the morning of the day that Hermione's going to like the Wizengamot for the werewolves this time. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on the Snidgets for a hot sec. Mm-hmm. But it's time to save the werewolves. And Blaise is like, so are you guys good? Like, what's going on? And she's like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know what the hell he wants from me. And he's like, doesn't know what the hell you want from him.
He's been taking what he can get.
Yeah, which, like, that's a leap.
Yeah.
But all right, we'll give it to him.
What? I was taking what I could get from him, literally.
But yeah, so he's like, you said you would never marry him. Like, why does everybody know that she said that? Nurses is just
blabbing.
I know. She's jotting.
Can you imagine just like anybody comes through the flu powder and she said she would never marry him.
Can you imagine?
And then like Hermione's like, all right, I guess like my Gryffindor bravado has to come out. And yeah, in a meeting, she like,
they're waiting for like the Wizengamot to assemble, but she's at the Wizengamot. Mm-hmm. They're waiting.
Wait, Wizengamot for what?
For the werewolf trial. Oh, She's going to pitch like equal rights for werewolves. Mm-hmm. Hermione Granger saves the werewolves.
Again, Demat Moobel. She just loves these werewolves trying to save the them. Werewolves.
We also love the werewolves, I guess. Not the Mason one we saw in this fic. He was kind of a dick. She's like about to go present like her first legislative like thing at this company. Like it's her kickoff and the way she's just confessing her love. And it's a lot all at once. She's like, I want to be able to ask you things. I want to date you. I wanna marry you. I wanna have your kids right here, right now. No, I'm just kidding. She like goes off and he's like, okay, thanks.
Can we go to work now? And
yeah, like I have a job. I'm at work. Not that that stopped him before, but yeah, I think he's just like, LOLs, love you too, Granger. He's a man of many words, you know.
Yeah. He's like, she said all of them.
Yeah.
I'll just affirm.
Yeah.
I concur, Hermione.
Yeah. But yeah, so then she's just like going into this freaking like Wizengamot hearing, crying in a mess, but at least her outfit slays. Shout out Pansy.
Coming in clutch yet again.
Pansy carried everything for this freaking love story, but yeah, so then she gets out of the Wizengamot. I think she did a great or whatever. They're gonna work on it. And she's going back to work. Draco has a surprise for her.
And she comes back into her office and it's her parents.
Yeah.
And they remember her.
Yeah. And there's like a doctor psychologist thingy. Mm-hmm. And he fixed them.
Yeah, with the help of Draco. Draco basically goes to Australia, rounds up her parents, and has this like psychiatrist basically input memories back of Hermione or like get them to like remember her.
Yeah.
It's not 100% perfect, but it's enough for them to like recognize each other and reconcile a little bit. And it's really emotional and you just get to see how like even when he was pissed at her, he still did this for her. He's,
It's been a little while coming. And then also I thought it was interesting how like did he revive suppressed memories. I remember in like the Secrets of Dumbledore movie or whatever, like Grindelwald like takes like Leader Lestrange's brother's memories like physically out of his head, and I was like, oh, that's interesting that you're never gonna get those back. And so I feel like the memory thing is so interesting to me in all the fics, and how especially in Hermione, how they handle her parents. But this makes sense. Like I feel like you could never fully erase somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I also just think have to bring them back.
In all the wrong things he tries to, he goes to like New York to try to forget Hermione.
Yeah.
Or not forget Hermione, with to like put her back in her little box.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, it's like really hard to do that when someone's really like engraved in your memory. And like, and also she's kind of like, I don't think you want to do that yourself. Like, and he's like, great. Yeah. I just she's wasted like,
that's
a trip.
So dramatic. Yeah. If that isn't the and so theme I wonder, of this Draco.
I wonder how like, if that kind of coincides with the parents, because it's like you can't fully remove someone. Yeah.
And it, like, why did I cry when her mom is like, I don't fully remember, but I recognize you and I recognize that you're mine.
Yeah.
And I feel like from a mother, that's such like, that was a great way to put things because that's her mom.
Yeah.
Yay.
And then she comes back and is like, you know what? That man is mine and I'm going to let everyone know. And she's like, yeah.
I'm going to stand beside him.
Yeah. And then, so she goes into this like very professional business meeting. Again, just
this is a wild, wild place to work.
And she's just like, anyways, I love Draco and I think he loves me, right? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, bye. And then she leaves.
No, she's also like, yeah, well, anyways, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, so we should just find a way to deal with that love contract business. And she's like, yeah, I just think we should do away with the whole thing. Ma'am, that's a horrible business tactic. She's like, I don't care about potential sexual harassment suits, nothing. It's not like we're a bunch of lawyers.
I just feel whatever. Like, I mean, I just feel like Hermione and Draco never really cared about this company to begin with. They just wanted to be close to each other.
I literally was thinking, reading this again, like, yeah, no, he really just started and pulled together a group of high level, high achieving consultants just to be able to work with Hermione
and have all of them watch.
Yeah. And put his love story on a show. Like, that was crazy. But
but the end of the show was great.
No. Yeah.
Because at the end, it's like skips to like 2 years. No, 5 years later?
5 years? 3 years?
3 years? At whatever. I don't know. They're married at this point, Hermione and Draco. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She visits Lucius and has a little contract herself. Yeah. Sorry. She visits Lucius and has a little list herself.
Yeah. He's up for potential like parole and early release based on good behavior.
Yeah, in 5 years he could be released.
Unfortunate stabbing, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that has a part to play.
Yeah, and she's like, "All right, well, since you're going to be out of here in 5 years, you need to work on some stuff, some lessons for yourself."
She's like, "Let's restart our little game," because you know now she's a professional Malfoy, done with her lessons. She like puts her hand on her belly and she's like, these are the requirements for my future child's grandfather.
Aw.
Checkmate, Lucius.
Do we know what the list says?
No.
It's like, don't be a dick.
Yeah. Set up a trust fund in my child's name.
Yeah.
Maybe for two children right
no
now.
No blackmail.
True.
Yeah.
My kid's not taking those fucking lessons. I don't know. I think they should. Yeah. Your kids are not going to be coordinated.
No.
They need to know how to dress.
What else do you think Hermione would put on the list?
I feel like she'd be like, It has to be like all the counters to everything he put on hers.
Yeah.
She's like, if you step out of line, I'm going to make you put your Azkaban robes back on. You have to stay in your wing of the manor is like 3 acres down the road.
What if she's just like, you have to volunteer at a muggle place? Learn about your grandchildren's culture.
You have to eat dinner with my parents every Friday and say one nice thing to each of them.
You have to hand wrap the Christmas presents.
Oh,
like I did.
100%. That's on the list. 100%. She's like, I'm going to have, remember he has like that old hag in the bookstore just stalking her. She's like, I'm going to have a hag on you watching your every move. If you do anything to her, back to Azkaban you go.
That's so funny. Do you think Lucius and Narcissa get back together?
No, but I don't think... an alternate theory in my mind has, like, this thought that what if they cooked up this whole entire plot themselves?
That's crazy.
I also believe Lovesbica 8 has, like, in this universe, like, a story that's Narcissa and Lucius... forget what it's called.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
I haven't read it either. Should we read it?
Maybe. Let's do it.
Listeners, please tell us if you've read it and if we should read it.
Yeah. Anyways, that was like great read.
Yeah.
There are some things that obviously I get really frustrated over, but I think overall it is like a solid one of the classics.
Yeah.
Another honorable mention that I forgot to say is I like when they're kind of like networking and it's Hermione's turn. So she's like, oh, let me bring in the big boys, Mr. Victor Crumb. And they like go out and then she comes back and Draco's like, I don't like your Bulgarian. And she's like, well, I don't like yours.
I had to deal with her.
You can too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Good line.
That was a good one. Yeah. I feel like you can feel the work and blood, sweat, and tears that the author put into not just this work, but the universe, like the little details. I think you really feel it when you read all the works, like everything that ties in together. It's just, it's so good. And I think it's one of the greats.
Yeah.
Dare I say.
A classic.
I'm so glad that you read it, even though it's a 7 for you.
Listen, I love Love's Bitka 8 and I love The Auction.
Yes. Can't wait to review that one next, hopefully.
Thank you so much for listening and being a part of this little Dramione book club. Don't forget to hit that little follow button to get a notification every time we post, which is every other Monday.
And check us out on social media where we create content quite regularly. Our TikTok is Dramione Diaries Pod and our Instagram is Dramione Diaries.
Afreen, do you think we managed some mischief?
We hella managed mischief today. Bye.
Bye. Bye.